pepper.
Sunday morning. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
You know, it was that much hectic Monday. घर का काम तो बाहर का. Honestly, मुझे 11 बजे याद है एक क्लास में गया. बड़ा जास में. मुझे बिल्कुल याद ही नहीं रहा. इतना बस busy था मैं.
आपको मेरे मंडे की क्लासें याद नहीं रहती. क्लासें आपको याद नहीं रहती.
नहीं, ऑनेस्टली बाहर से घर में स्टार्ट हो गया. रात को 12-1 बजे फिनिश किया.
आपको एक पीर फकीर की सोहबत में रहने की ज़रूरत है ताकि याददाश्त आपकी बेहतर
हो. जड़ी है वो भी भूल जाए. आज एक न्यू स्टोरी मैंने सुनी.
बिस्मिल्लाहिर्रहमानिर्रहीम. अल्हम्दुलिल्लाहि रब्बिल आलमीन. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه وأهل بيته أجمعين. أما بعد. Once we have discussed those things that breaks wudu, let me make some final touches on the subject of wudu by discussing some more aspects of it. Generally, alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah that we do know how to make wudu, and we do make wudu on a daily basis. But let me point out some mistakes that we may be making in our wudu and what a hadith has to say about them. Or maybe some little important reminders about wudu. One of the subjects I would like to discuss, which is generally ignored, including maybe myself, is it is sunnah to read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, or just Bismillah, at the beginning of wudu. This is sunnah. And there is a hadith behind this. Hadith of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An Abi Hurairata radiyallahu anhu wa an Sa'id ibn Zayd qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la wudu'a liman lam yadhkur ismullah alayhi. There is no wuzu for he who does not mention the name of Allah over it. There is no wudu for the person who does not remember or mention the name of Allah over the wuzu. Not necessarily this implies that there is no wuzu means his wuzu is not valid. Generally, there are many ahadith where certain facts are mentioned in this particular context, like there is no salat for he who reads it at home. Not necessarily it means that salat is not acceptable and it's invalid. It's trying to say what sort of salat is that. You know. In the same way here, this hadith is in that similar context. That there is no wudu for he who does not mention the name of Allah over it. In other words, when you are doing wudu, and wudu is such a big ibadat, and it's an ibadat opening the doors and giving the license for a bigger ibadat, which is salat, then yes, it is something that you should start in the name of Allah. Because wudu is ibadat, and ibadat is for Allah. And then opening the doors for another bigger ibadat. Hence, this is a time where you should mention Allah. This is why some fuqaha And some muhaddithin and jurists have mentioned that to read Suratul Fatiha is in an important sunnah. It's sunnati muakkada. It's a stressed sunnah that you must mention the name of Allah. But alhamdulillah, nobody says that if you don't read Bismillah at the beginning, then your wudu is invalid. Nobody says that. Everybody says wudu is still valid. Because when Allah gives the list of the validity and the important aspects of wudu, He mentions washing the face, arms, masa and the feet. He does not mention dhikr of Allah and reading Bismillah. So yes, a little reminder for myself and a little reminder for you all. Wudu is an ibadat, and it is recommended directly by our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from this hadith that there is no wuzu for he who does not mention the name of Allah over it. Is hadith ki rooh se Bismillah shuru mein padhna ye sunnat hai, if not wajib and necessary. Reading Bismillah, reading verbally with your mouth, this should be avoided in a place, in a toilet, definitely. If wudu is being made in a place where there is only, it's only exclusively a place for the toilet, as a toilet, then yes, definitely you avoid reading and mentioning the name of Allah or any form of zikr. If it's you are outside, here we are talking about outside a lavatory. Say example, you are making wudu downstairs. If you are making wudu in the kitchen, if you are making wudu elsewhere besides bathroom, then yes, it is sunnah that you read Bismillah verbally. Question is, which is nowadays a debatable issue, is if you have a place where the toilet pan is also one of the uses of the room, but the room is used for other purposes as well. It's not just a lavatory, it's a bathroom, it's a washroom, where it's been used for multiple purposes. Then yes, some fuqaha say that yes, if the toilet system is closed, then this is now just a room, a bathroom. Hence, there is no problem in mentioning the name of Allah. If you go for this opinion, then yes, Bismillah can be read even in a bathroom. And dhikr of Allah can be read even in the bathroom. However, there is another opinion that at the end of the day, it's also toilet as well. And toilet is a very big activity of this room as well. So you avoid. But this is one of those debatable issues for which there is no direct answers that we are going to find from hadith. If you are in a bathroom or in a place exclusively for the toilet, then what you could do is read Bismillah, not verbally, but mentally and in your heart. You mention the name of Allah in your heart, you run it through your mind. Even then, if you put the lid down, then still the issue is debatable, whether you are allowed to do it or whether you're not allowed to do it, because at the end of the day, it's also a lavatory as well. Hadith, one of the benefit of making wudu is, let me read out the hadith. وعن ابي هريره وابن مسعود وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنه ان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من توضا وذكر اسم الله. Whoever shall make wudu and he mentions the name of Allah also, فَإِنَّهُ يُطَهِّرُ جَسَدَهُ كُلَّهُ. Then he is purifying his entire body. Not only the parts of the wudu have become purified, but with the barakat of Bismillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies him from the sins of the entire body, not just the body, the limbs that are being washed. وَمَن تَوَضَّأَ وَلَمْ يَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ اللَّهِ. And whoever makes salah, wudu, but does not mention the name of Allah, like me and you, we do it. لَمْ يُطَهِّرْ إِلَّا مَوْضِعَ الْوُضُوء. Then he has only purified the parts of the wudu. He has only purified the parts of wudu. In other words, by reading Bismillah together with wudu, you are purifying a spiritual purity you are giving for the whole body. So ye bhi ek Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, or just Bismillah padhne ka ek fayda hai. So yes, let us start with Bismillah. And the name of Allah should be mentioned. So to mention the name of Allah at the beginning of wudu, this is sunnah. To mention the name of Allah, in other words, to read dua after wudu, that is also sunnah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawwabin wa ja'alni min al-mutatahirin. And all 8 doors of Jannah become open for him. We've read this hadith last week. Question is, what about in between? In between. There are certain narrations, but majority of the muhaddithin regard them as extremely weak, and so weak that they don't count as evidence. That there is some hadith mentioned that yes, there are some duas to be read in between the wudu as you continue washing other parts as well. That is one opinion. There is another opinion. No, those narrations are extremely weak and they cannot be considered as an evidence. So you don't leave them. They're not valid. So there are some jurists and muhaddithin who are of the opinion that even whilst washing other parts of the wudu, it is good to read some dua. Unproven from hadith. Although those hadiths are extremely weak. What are those du'as? Depending on what limb of the body you are washing. For example, you are washing your face. Then you say, Allahumma bayyid wajhi yawma tabiyaddu wujuhu awliya'ik. O Allah, whiten my face on the day that you shall be whitening the face of your friends, of your people, of your good people. Allahumma bayyid wajhi yawma tabiyaddu wujuhu awliya'ik. O Allah, whiten my face, in other words, make my face nurani on the day when you shall be make the faces of your good people nurani. وَلَا تُسَوِّدْ وَجْهِ يَوْمَ تَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ أَعْدَائِكَ. And do not blacken my face on the day of Qiyamah when you will be blacking the face of your enemies. Because it's a fact that on the day of Qiyamah, the وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ وَوُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَلَيْهَا غَبَرَةٌ تَرْهَقُهَا قَتَرَةٌ يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ. The day when some faces are going to light up and will be glowing, whereas on the same day other faces will be dark. So here you are making dua, Ya Allah, as you are washing your face, it is recommended that you read this dua. O Allah, brighten my face up on the day of Qiyamah when you will be brightening up the faces of your good people. And do not darken my face the day when you will be darkening the people, your enemies, the faces of your enemies. This dua is regarded as mustahab and desirable in one opinion. Backed up with hadith, but extremely a hadith which is proven with extreme weak narration, with weak chain of narrators. And when you are washing your right arm, Then you say, Allahumma a'atini kitabi biyamini wa hasibni hisaban yasira. O Allah, grant me my book of deeds on the day of Qiyamah in my right hand. And grant me an easy account. Grant me an easy hisab. You know, everybody will be taken, you will be accounted for everything you have done in your life. Aur ek bahut bada hisab kitab ka din hai. For some it's easy and for some Allah will make it easy and for some Allah will make it extremely difficult. So you are asking, oh Allah, grant me my book of deeds in my right arm. And as you are washing the right arm, you make this dua. And when you are washing the right arm, guess what you read? وَلَا تُعْتِنِي كِتَابِي بِشِمَالِي وَلَا مِنْ وَرَاءِ ظَهْرِي. Oh Allah, you will not give me my book of deeds in my left arm, nor will you give me from behind my back. Because that's what's going to happen to some people on the day of Qiyamah. Definitely kafirs, definitely munafiqs. They will be given their book of deeds in their left hands, and with some even from behind their backs, even without Allah or the angels facing them. And when you make masa, then this dua is recommended. Allahumma adhillani tahta dhilli arshik yawma la dhilla illa dhillu arshik. O Allah, grant me your very special shade under the throne, under the shade of your throne, the day when there will be no shade other than the shade of your throne. As you're making masa, this dua is also recommended. When you wash your right foot, you may read this dua, Allahumma thabbit qadamayya ala siratika al-mustaqim. O Allahumma thabbit qadamayya yawma tazillu al-aqdam. O Allah, the day when people will not be able to remain steadfast, or during those days of fitna, allow me to remain on the right path, to remain firm on the right path. The days of fitna, when people's feet will slip and will not be able to remain consistent on deen, us din jis din phislenge qadam, us din aap hame sabit qadmi ata farmaiye. So these are some of the duas recommended to be read between the wuzu. Also, it's a good idea and a recommended thing that when you are washing the limbs of your wudu, because hadith already has said that as you wash your face, along with the last drop of the water dripping from your face, all the sins committed by the face, they get washed away. So it might be a good idea at that time you make dua-i maghfirat, oh Allah, whatever sins I have committed with my eyes, with my nose, with my ears, with my tongue, oh Allah, wash them away. Because that's what's happening at the time. And you are backing it up by orally making and verbally making dua of it as well. Just like in the spiritual world, this is already happening. You are further asking Allah verbally as well for that to happen. And as you wash your right arm, then you make the same dua. Oh Allah, whatever sins I have, my right arm has committed, do wash those sins away. And that goes with the left, and that goes with the foot, right foot and the left foot. Summary about dhikr at the time of wudu. At the beginning, to read Bismillah is recommended. To read dua at the end is also recommended and sunnah. To read dua in between is debatable. Some have recommended, some are saying not proven. It's not proven, this part, that when you are making masa, any particular dua to be read, Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah, is not proven. Anji, by any hadith. or even by any sort of, even as far as I know, by any even recommendation by the jurists, let alone hadith. It's something that I have not heard in hadith, fiqh, hadith or even fiqh. So maybe it's just one of those misunderstanding, misconception. Yes, there is dua at the end, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.
If there is any part left dry, which is supposed to be wet, then this dua compensates for it.
No.
No, it's not like, for, like by accident, for example. I think it was, I mean, that was a part of it, but it's saying...
No, that's not proven anyway. Bottom line is, no, nothing will compensate for any part of the wudu left dry. It will have to be physically be washed. Question is, any question around reading, mentioning the name of Allah at the time of wudu?
Ustaji, some people, when they do ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I think I've asked you this before, I have forgotten the time. Some people point their fingers towards the sky.
Good question. I don't have the immediate answer now. I wish if I had also checked on this. And I'll see if I can find if this has been backed up from hadith as well. Probably, I think my mind is inclined that yes, I think there may be some traces in hadith. All right. So, but I'm not sure at the moment that I can give you the answer of authentically now. Question is, are you allowed to talk during wudu? Well, you're not reading dua, so you will be doing something else. You will be talking. Talking to the extent where you are not going to follow what's happening in your wudu and you might miss out on something, then definitely that talking is totally discouraged. Talking where it's going to be too deep, right, where you forget what you are doing, whether you have washed your parts of the body thoroughly or not, it distracts you from making wudu, then definitely that talking is totally discouraged. But there is no such thing as if you talk, then your wuzu is not valid, or you must not talk, otherwise there is a sin. The reason why ulamas recommend that you don't talk, because this is also an ibadat. It needs concentration. Complete wuzu has very strongly been recommended in our Sharia, and that needs focusing. That needs focusing, whether you have completely made the wuzu or not. You have washed the limbs properly or not. Hence, this requires attention. And maybe talking may distract you from doing this. Hence, from that perspective, talking would be discouraged, but not necessarily we find anything directly from Quran or Hadith prohibiting talking altogether. Next. मैं अपने गुफ्तगू को थोड़ा स्ट्रक्चर रखना चाहता हूँ. I like to keep my talks a bit more structured, just to go systematically. So if I'm talking about dhikr right at the beginning, then I just want us to concentrate on this subject. If it's something else, now this is totally a different subject altogether now. Moze par masa and so on, which I think we discussed a little in Monday class or even last week. So I wouldn't want to go on to that subject. You know, then what happens? Then we start talking about wahan is tarah hota hai, wo log is tarah karte hain, ye log is tarah karte hain, and it just ends up in like a discussion, an endless discussion. So let's move on. Next subject that I would like to discuss, that we generally wash the parts of the wudu 3 times. Yes, this is also sunnah. But for your information, even washing the limbs and the parts of the body once is also sufficient, and this is also evident from hadith. So if somebody only washes the face once, the arms once, the feet once, Anji, then he's perfectly well, as long as he has washed the complete arms and all the limbs thoroughly. And this is also proven. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas narrates, تَوَضَّأَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَرَّةً مَرَّةً لَمْ يَزِدْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِي. It is mentioned in Bukhari from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu that he saw Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making wudu, but at that time, on this instance, he made wudu only once. He washed the limbs once only. Ek martaba hi azad hoye. So this is proven that if he alayhi salam only washed it once, it means it's been licensed. It's jais. However, question is, why did he only wash once and not two times or three times? Depending on circumstances. Sometimes little water, sometimes not enough for everyone, so you don't become selfish and wash yourself three times, whereas others totally remain deprived. Whether he's gone out for jihad and is on a journey, where there is shortage of water and everybody needs to find water for wudu, for drinking and everything, and you've got those big tank camels with you as well. Gee, they need a lot of water. So maybe under different circumstances, he may have adjusted his wudu by only washing the limbs once. So this is proven. It is also proven for your information that there have been times when he alayhi salatu was salam washed the limbs twice, every limb twice. And there is a hadith, Abdullah ibn Zayd radiyallahu anhu reports, anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tawadda'a marrataini. Now Abdullah ibn Zayd reports, he says that one day I saw Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making wudu, and he would wash each limb of wudu twice only. Not once, not thrice, but twice. Once this is proven, then muhaddithin and ulama have no choice than to say that even two is allowed, because this is authentically proven from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, under normal circumstances or healthy circumstances, when water is available for all, he alayhi salatu wasalam have been noted making wudu by washing each limb thrice. Uthman radiyallahu anhu narrates that on one day in his when he was Amirul Mu'mineen, on one occasion in a certain place he made wudu. And when he made wudu, he washed every limb three times. And once he completed the wudu, he said to the onlookers, and Uthman radiyallahu anhu, annahu tawadda'a bil maqa'id, faqala ala urikum wudu'a rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fatawadda'a thalathan thalathan. Before starting his wudu, he said to the audience, he said, shall I show you how Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wudu was? And now he began showing the spectators how he alayhi salatu wasalam made his wudu. And as he made his wudu, he washed every limb three times. So yes, all proven, all correct, but all under different circumstances. However, do you smile? Ji beta. To do things in order, this is sunnah. And again, this order, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed the sahaba. First you wash your both hands, and then you gargle the mouth, you do the miswak, then you rinse your nostrils, then you wash your face. This system, this sequence of wuzu has been demonstrated by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam practically. And this is why this sequence is lasting until today. Everybody is following the same sequence. And this is like, you know, all across the board, from all different fiqh, everybody is unanimous about this. So here you'll see, you won't go to any Shafi masjid or Maliki masjid where they'll start to wash their, make their wuzu by washing their feet first. What he said is right, that this is our sequence, has been running for the last so many years. But at the end of the day, if by the end of wudu sobi, if you have completed washing all the necessary parts of wudu, your wudu is done even though you may not have done it in the right sequence. Okay, you have changed the sequence, you have missed a sunnat out, but your wudu is still valid. Sunnat, not mustahab. Sunnat. Question is, alhamdulillah, here we live under circumstances where water is available in great quantity, and there's never a problem where we have to end up making it once. So generally we'll do it three. Generally what the problem we are facing is we wash more than three times. How does Sharia look at this? Washing it more than three times, this is regarded as extravagance and israf, and not allowed. Hear me out. وعن أمر بن شعيب أن أبيه عن جده قال جاء أعرابي إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يسأله عن الوضوء. Amr ibn Shu'aib, from his father and he from his grandfather, narrates that a villager came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a Bedouin came to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, asking him about how to make wudu. فَأَرَاهُ ثَلَاثًا ثَلَاثًا. He alayhi salatu wasalam showed him the method of wudu by washing each limb three times. ثم قال هكذا الوضوء. Then he alayhi salam turned to him and he said, this is how you do wudu. فمن زاد على هذا فقد أساء وتعدى وظلم. Whoever shall do anything more than this, maybe he's referring to more times than three, then this will be, he will be regarded as he's done something wrong. He did not do something which is right and correct. وَتَعَدَّى, and he has been extravagant. وَظَلَمَ, or usne zulm kiya. So in other words, washing the limbs of wudu more than three times is disliked in Sharia. You should save this water for the need of others. By doing this, you might be saying, Rav, I'm doing a good, better wudu. By doing better, you are depriving others from the important use of water. This is why even in this day and age, even though I think, 60-70% of the earth is water, but still there is shortage of water around the world. Even though the earth is comprised of, is it 70%, is it? 60. No, it's more than 60. In 70, 66, 70%.
It says two-thirds.
Two-thirds, yeah. 66.66%. So that's more nearer to 70, Abu Bakr. See. Despite the fact that there is so much water in the world, but when it comes to actually accessibility, then yes, we know that there is short of water if you look at the whole world around. So yes, agar aap zyada fuzul kharchi karoge, to others will remain deprived. Even in this country is an island, isn't it? So it means it's been surrounded with water all around. Yet the water has to be recycled here. Water is being recycled here. अगर जब मैं जो बातें पेश कर रहा हूं उस बारे में कोई सवाल है तो वो करो, अगर उस बारे में सवाल नहीं है तो ना करो. ओके आप, और दूसरी बात ये है कि इफ यू नॉट शो, अलाउ मी टू फिनिश द होल लेसन एंड सी वेदर आई हैव ऑलरेडी कवर्ड, बिकॉज़ इंशाल्लाह 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 at least eight or nine out of 10, inshallah, within the end of the lesson, you will get all the necessary practical information. Necessary practical, because when I sit to prepare my lesson, I think of the practicalities. And this is how I structure and pitch my lesson. So just wait. Baitul Khala mein jaane se pehle shalwar nahi nikala karte. तो फिर बैतुल खला में भी जाने की जरूरत नहीं है, फिर वही कर लो. عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص ان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مر بسعد وهو يتوضا. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As reports that one day Sa'ad radiyallahu anhu was making wudu. Understood? One wudu kailu to Sa'ad. Sa'ad is making wudu and our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by. And when he alayhi salam saw Sa'ad radiyallahu anhu making wudu, he saw that Sa'ad is being extravagant in using water. So he alayhi salatu wa salam exclaimed, "Ma hadha saraf ya Sa'ad?" O Sa'ad, what is this extravagance? Qal, afil wudu is saraf? O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in wuzu can there be extravagance? Because in wuzu, what I understand, the more you do the better. So can it be extravagance in wudu? Good question. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Na'am wa in kunta ala nahrin jarin." Yes, there can be extravagance in wudu also, even if you are sat around a river. Even if you are sat around the river, meaning that you've got so much water that is constantly flowing in tons and tons and tons. Even then there can be extravagance at this during these circumstances also. So yes, any extra use of water by washing any limb more than three times is regarded as extravagance and disliked and discouraged. Although not to say that your wudu is invalid as soon as you wash it four times or five times.
Is it simple?
Ji? Haan ji. Ab kaun sa guna hai, kis tarah ka hai? کیا ہے اب اس تفصیل میں ڈائریکٹ آنسرز نہیں دیے جا سکتے لیکن مکروہ ہے جی کم از کم مکروہ کا درجہ تو کہیں نہیں گیا Once we are talking on the extravagance in wudu, Abdullah ibn Mughaffal radiallahu anhu reports that he heard his son saying, one day Abdullah ibn Mughaffal is a sahabi. He heard his son making this dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-qasr al-abyada an yameen al-jannah. O Allah, I am asking you for a palace in the right side of Jannah. I don't want it in the left side of the Jannah. I want it in the right side of Jannah. Father heard his son making this dua. So he said, Ay bunay, salillaha al-jannah wa ta'awwad bihi minan nar. Just simply ask Allah for Jannat. And ask Allah for the protection from the hellfire. You don't need to, in other words, you don't need to go into the depth that I want it in the center, or I want it in the left side, or I want it at the top or the bottom. Just ask Allah for Jannat briefly without going into such depth. Then he said, فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ. Because I have heard Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, إِنَّهُ سَيَكُونُ فِي هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ قَوْمٌ يَعْتَدُونَ فِي الطُّهُورِ وَالدُّعَى. Because I have heard Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that indeed in this ummah there will be a group of people who will be extravagant in the matters of purification, who will be exceeding the limits in attaining purity. Wad-du'a, and they will also be exceeding the limits in du'a. In other words, du'a, bas just ask Allah, oh Allah, give me Jannah. You don't need to say center, middle, right, left. This is exceeding the limit in du'a. This is exceeding the limit in du'a. So he, alayhi salam, said that yes, Sahabi says, I've heard Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying that there should be no exceeding the limit in two things. In du'as and in matters of taharat. You don't exceed the limit because there is no end to it. You think, oh, this is napak. And then you say, this is napak. Then you say, this is napak. So this is also like if you there is more than three is exceeding the limit. If you have a need of £1 million because there is a desperate situation and you need £1 million, then definitely you are allowed to ask Allah for £1 million. All right. That's, you are allowed and there is no problem. In that case, for you to ask Allah for £1 million is sunnat and mustahab because you've got a dire need and you are asking Allah, which is a good thing. If there is no need but there is only hirs and tamah, greed, and you are asking for £1 million, then this is discouraged. It's not that it's disallowed, because to have wealth is allowed. But it's greed. It comes under greed because you don't need it. You are being greedy. So from that perspective, it's makruh to make such dua. If you are just being silly, then this is najais because you are being silly with Allah. Okay? Next, I won't ask 50 or 70 hurs na karo, ek hi mil jaye jannat ki, wo hi kafi hai.
That's been silly.
Ji.
Mohan sahab, you know why they ask you for £1 million? The young lads, they want to buy supercars. Bugatti.
Acha. Next issue is, you all know that traditionally we have been making wudu by washing the limbs of our body by starting with the right and then the left. So right arm first and then the left, right foot first, then the left. I would like you to know that this is not just coincidence, this is not just like traditionally done without our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraging or without his own practice. So what we find on the subject that why do we wash the right first and the next? Then yes, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she reports, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يحب التيمم ما استطاع في شأنه كله في طهوره وترجله وتناوله. He عليه الصلاة والسلام liked starting with the right as much as possible in all his good matters in relation to taharat, in relation to combing hair, and in relation to wearing shoes and slippers. In other words, in all the acceptable and good matters, he alayhi salatu was salam, whenever there was any matter that came in pair between right and left, he alayhi salam preferred to start the particular matter with the right over the left. So yes, we understand. And in what? Fi tuhurihi, in his matters of cleanliness. So wudu is a subject of cleanliness. So right first and the left. Even in combing the hair. So if you're combing the hair and you've got a part in the middle, then yes, the right first and then the left. If you are wearing shoes, then again, a right foot first and then the left. You're wearing socks, a right foot first and then the left. You are wearing shalwar, a right leg in first and then the left. You're wearing kameez, a right sleeve first and then the left.
And then you take it out left first and then left.
وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا لبستم وإذا توضأتم, whenever you put on your clothes or whenever you make wudu, فابدأوا بأيامنكم, then do start with your right. So now we've got an authentic hadith to say that right has preference in these matters. In these matters, the right has preference over left. So yes, there is direct information, hadith on the subject about right and left. Masah is one of the things where I see lots of people make mistake in. They don't know how to make the masah properly. Masah that we understand directly from hadith is only made once. You don't make masah three times. But the way it should be done, you wet both your hands fully. And you place them both on your head. And as you place them on the head, you run both the hands starting from the front and you run them back. You draw them back towards the neck side. So you put them both on the head. Once you have done this, and now you pass them both hands over the entire head, covering the entire head, taking your both hands from the front, from the peshani, from the forehead to the back of towards your neck. This is you do once. And then part of masa is to bring the both hands as they were. Now you bring it back again at the front. So in other words, you go in the reverse and then again you come back at the front by keeping both full hands on your head. So both hands on your head, you draw them back from the front to the back and then again from the back to the front. This is the kaifiyat and the method of making masa. Although even masa of some part of the head, like a quarter part or half or third, is also acceptable and requirement, and you have ticked the box and the faraiz of the box. But sunnah is to make the masa of the entire head.
I've seen that they start from the back of the head, front and then back of the head.
No. Hadith, very authentically, all these hadith that I have here in front of me without going into the detail, because all these hadith, they start from the very beginning and these are long hadith. But when it comes to masa, it clearly says you start from the front and you take it to the back and again from back to the front. Also do know that masa of both ears is also proven. And it is also mustahab and sunnah to make masa of your ears. And hadith says that yes, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would insert his index finger into the inside of the ear and pass them round. Index finger, these are they called index finger, aren't they? The first fingers. Both index fingers, he used to run them inside the ear. Whereas the outer ear, he would use the both thumbs. Ye bhi sunnat hai aur mustahab hai. To make masa of the ears is mustahab and sunnah, whichever you want to call it. They're more or less near to each other. And the way to do it, you use this. It is sunnah that you use the index finger to run both your fingers inside in the inner part of the ear, whereas you use the thumbs on the sides of your ears. This is sunnah. An Ibn Abbas in radiyallahu an anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam masaha bi ra'sihi wa udhunayhi. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu reports that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made masah of his head and of his ears. Batinahuma bisabbahataini. The inside of the ears he made masah with the index fingers. Wadhahirahuma biabhamaihi. And the outside of the ears he made masah with both of his thumbs. So this is the sunnah method of making masah of your ears. Next, which I think Tariq was asking about. Khilal. You may have heard this term called khilal. Khilal. You do khilal. In Urdu we say khilal. In Arabic they say takhleel. Takhleel. It is sunnah. It is sunnah, or you could say mustahab. Between sunnah and mustahab, to do khilal or to do takhleel of certain parts in wudu. Takhleel of your fingers and takhleel of your toes and takhleel of your beard. What does takhleel mean? To pass your wet hands in them, between them, to make sure they are not left dry. To pass your wet fingers into certain parts of your wudu to make sure that no part of them is left dry is called takhleel or khilal. So for example, you pass wet fingers in between your fingers like this. Now this is called khilal of fingers. This is called khilal of fingers. There is khilal of toes, that you do something similar, that you use your small little finger of your left hand, your little finger of your left hand, and you run them in between each toe of your foot to make sure that they are not left dry. Because remember, they're quite attached together, all the toes. Chances are water may not have reached there thoroughly. So you are making sure. To do this, in other words, to pass wet fingers between with some parts of wudu is called khilal and takhleel, and this is mustahab and sunnah. Another khilal is of the beard, that you just pass wet fingers in between your beard. This is also mustahab. Let's see what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to say about khilal. عن لقيط بن صبير رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أخبرني عن الوضوء قال أسبغ الوضوء وخلل بين الأصابع وبالغ في الاستنشاق إلا أن تكون صائما. He says that I asked Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that, O Prophet of Allah, let me know details about wudu. So he said أسبغ الوضوء, make complete wudu. That's one instruction. Number two, khallil bayn al asabi', make khilal of your fingers. And in English we use toes and fingers. In Arabic it's asabi' for both. Okay. So in other words, make khilal of between your fingers and toes. So now this is evident from hadith that he alayhi salam has recommended that make khilal of between your fingers and toes. Wabaligh fil istinshaq, and do and rinse your nostrils thoroughly, except if you are fasting. These are some of the guidelines he gave to this sahabi. Complete wudu, make sure you've done your khilal properly, make sure you have cleaned your nostrils and rinse the nostrils properly. Lekin the fact that I want to prove from this hadith is just that khilal is evident from hadith. The reason I'm mentioning this is maybe sometimes people do wudu in different countries, different ways, and it's important that we're not just following culture and tradition of our, of the place where we live in, we follow the tradition of Medina, of Sunnah. This is why I'm supporting all the information with hadith, whether it's evident or it's not evident. وعن عثمان رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يخلل لحيته. عثمان رضي الله عنه reports that Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to make khilal of his beard. So khilal of beard is also proven. Next, there is something called isbaghul wudu. Isbaghul wudu. This term means to make complete wudu, full wudu. In other words, no matter what the circumstances are, you still go for good complete wudu. You don't go for half wudu. You don't leave anything dry. And this has a lot of virtues in hadith, making good wudu, complete wudu, where you are very particular about washing each limb and you don't leave it dry. Uske bahut sawab, uska bahut bada sawab hai. It's regarded as kaffarat. In other words, it's a deed that also makes you become forgiven from sins also. One day, whilst our Sahaba and Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were traveling, they decided to encamp in a place where it had water in it. There was water, so usually everybody would encamp in that place so they could drink, they could also give it to the animals, they could make wudu and read salat. So all the Sahaba gathered around the water area. As soon as Asr Salat entered, there were some Sahaba who immediately rushed towards making wudu. You know, they also had fear that maybe water will run out. So yes, there were some who immediately rushed towards making wudu. But when they made wudu, they made it very quickly. So much so that there were some whose heels were not washed properly. They were left dry. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says that when we went towards them to make wudu ourselves and we saw them now returning, then we could see clearly that part of their heels were not washed. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also saw this. So he said, "Wailun lil a'qabi minan nar." Destruction of fire for those people who will leave their heels dry in wudu. Destruction of fire for those people who will leave their heels dry in wudu. وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ أَسْبِغُ الْوُضُوء. Make complete wudu. Make perfect wudu. Iska matlab ye hua ke to leave any part dry carelessly, it's a bad thing. Guna hai. It's negligence. Undermining wudu. And it's a sin. Remember, do know that when Islam is spreading amongst the Sahaba, it's not that you would expect 100% quality overnight. They're all, it's a learning process. It's a new Sharia. It's a new legislation that is changed, that is coming. They are being given on a daily basis. So yes, they will make mistakes. I don't want you to be wondering, oh, how dare did they leave the heels dry? And the Sahaba, don't they know this? It's pretty obvious. You know, sometimes you start to think like this. No, you don't think like that. It's a learning process. You've got new, more and more new people. It's a jihad time. So people are joining from different nearby villages now who have not had that opportunity to stay in the company of Medina and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to learn deen. They are only practicing as they are watching. And sometimes they will make mistakes. This is why you'll see in many places where you think, oh, would Sahaba do this? Why would Umar radiallahu anhu urinate standing? Understand what I'm saying? Yes, so you should understand that Sahaba, they were slowly being given the tarbiyah from the scratch. Last, before we finish the subject on wudu. We have been informed by hadith by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that at the time when you make wudu, there is a shaitan called Mr. Walahan. His name is Walahan. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the name. Okay, he hasn't mentioned Mr. That's coming from me. But he has mentioned him as Walahan. So okay, we'll call him Mr. Walahan. He alayhi salatu wa salam says, Ubay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu anhu reports from Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qal inna lil wudu'i shaytanan yuqalu lahu al-walahan. Indeed, at the time of wuzu, there is one shaytan, one type of shaytan who are called walahan, appointed just for the wuzu time. In other words, their job is what? Their job is whenever somebody will make wudu, then to create distraction, to create confusion, to create problems for them, issues. Oh, your wuzu is not done. It's not complete. You haven't done this properly. You know, especially you'll know those people who have this disease. What is it called? OCD? OCD. And they keep on doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. Okay? Sometimes this is coming from Mr. Walahan. So listen, he alayhi salam has said, indeed, at the time of wudu, there is a shaitan appointed. Yuqalu lahul walahan, he is called walahan. Fattaku waswasalma, you must refrain from the waswasa in relation to water. In other words, he'll make you think about different things. He might even think you that, oh, you are wet down there. Maybe some drops have come out. You know, he'll make you feel like that. Maybe about water, he'll say, oh, the water has not reached here. Oh, the water is not reached there. Oh, my wudu is not complete. So anything in relation to wudu and water, he is there to bring problems for you. So he said, be aware. Refrain from the waswasas and the whispers of Mr. Walahan. Any questions on the subject that we have discussed? Ji?
You know, when it comes to the beard, you say, you know, they say wash earlobe to earlobe from the top of the forehead to the chin. When you have a beard, you can't get everything wet. So, a friend of mine, I think they're learning on tabligh or something, wash like this and say wash like this. And that's clustered, you know, you wash the entire beard and you've covered all this. Is that
the flowing element of the beard? Whatever hair are flowing away from directly from the skin of the face, it's not necessary for you to wash them. Do you understand? So somebody's got to be a long beard. He doesn't necessarily need to wash the whole beard and make it wet. See? Varna dusri namaz ka waqt ho jayega. However, what is necessary is to wash the skin part of the entire face. So automatically the beard with which is attached with the face, with the skin of the face, will have to get washed and they will get wet. But the fard is to wash the skin of the entire face from the top of the forehead to the bottom of the chin and from one earlobe to the other. In other words, whatever... come on, say, help me use the word, come on. Whatever area, or area it makes between joining these four points, top of the forehead, bottom of the chin, one ear to the other, for join these four dots, and whatever it makes, you need to wash this entire area. जी सो ये मकसूद ये लटकी हुई दाढ़ी का धोना जरूरी नहीं है जी मकसूद कुछ पूछ रहे थे जी तारिक कौन In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember living in the desert land, and they did not enjoy the leisure of water the way we do today. Alright, so yes, water is short everywhere. So yes, the usage of water was very restricted and limited. You will be amazed in how much, I can't remember exactly the quantity, Anji. But in what quantity the Sahaba and he alayhi salam would make wudu, you would be amazed. And in what quantity they would make the entire ghusl, it's unimaginable. Most probably we are, if you compare those quantities, then I think just in what they used to do in ghusl, we use more than that in only wudu. So yes, how was it possible? Because if you look at that container, then it's a very small, that quantity is very small. And yes, in Tanzania, there are situations when water is running out and there is no water. Then yes, you ask us, even in that same quantity, I managed to make wuzu as well. Because we have to under the circumstances. And how is that possible? That yes, you take water, and not necessarily you flow it. Otherwise, wo to ek hi go ke andar sab khatam ho jayega. So you carry the water with your one hand, and then what you do, you rub the water thoroughly. And what is necessary, not that water should be flowing from each limb is necessary. Right? Even one drop, right? Or as long as everything gets wet, and one or two drops are falling from the limb, even that is enough. Dusri baat hai ki wo wuzu karne ka tarika kya tha? It wasn't a running tap. We are finishing now, Sobhi, okay? It's not that they used to make wuzu under a running tap. Water is there in a container. So first they would wash their hands outside the container. Once they have washed the hands outside the container, they would dip both hands inside the container, carry the water and wash the face. Okay? And again, they would dip both hands again inside the container and they would wash the right hand, the arm. In other words, you're carrying little water from there and you're using it just for there. It's not that constantly it's flowing. Ji. Next import. Ji, Tariq.
You know, when we're talking about Bismillah before you go to the toilet, I want to know at which point in an open field you would say that.
At the start of wudu?
No, wo jo jab toilet mein jaate hain.
Ab isko itna complicated kyun banate ho aap? आपके पास कौन से जंगल में आप बैतुल खला जाते हो कि अब क्यों ये इस तरह क्यों इमेजिनरी क्वेश्चंस दैट हैज नो बेसिस दैट आई हैव सेड आई हैव गिवन यू अ मसला दैट व्हेनेवर यू गो टू द टॉयलेट बिफोर एंटरिंग इनसाइड द टॉयलेट रीड बिस्मिल्लाह ओके हदीस फिनिश अंडरस्टूड प्रैक्टिकल राइट ओके नाउ व्हाई से व्हाट इफ समबडी इज इन द डेजर्ट एंड ही इज गोइंग टू रिलीव हिमसेल्फ समवेयर When is he going to read Bismillah? Because it's just an open area for miles. अब ये कब ऐसा होता है और जब ऐसा होगा तो मुझे पूछ लेना।
Millions of people ऐसे ही करते थे ना in the early days, वो अभी भी करते हैं।
जी।
और कहते हैं अब मसला ये बन गया है, toilet को जो lid बंद हो, फिर कहें या bar room में।
इस तरह हर चीज़ को practical नज़र से देखो और practical से ये करो। और अगर इतना हो तो मेरे पास इसका इलम ना और जवाब नहीं है सिंपल किसी के पास होगा वो दे दे आपको मेरे पास नहीं है इसका जवाब
जब करते थे तो ऐसे करते थे ना दे मैं पूछ रहा हूँ कि वो बीच पॉइंट डिड ही यूज्ड टू वो भी ओपन फील्ड्स हैं
लेकिन इसका आसान तरीका ये है जब आप दीवारें बन जाते हो कपड़े निकालते हो तो
लेकिन ये दीवारें नहीं है. He's saying if somebody is relieving in an open field.
You know, when you're in a place, then you're going to remove parts.
Yes, of course. So it makes sense that. लेकिन ये सब इस तरह वो इमेजिनरी क्यों क्वेश्चंस करते हैं विच आर नॉट प्रैक्टिकल, जो आज पेश ही नहीं आते. जी चलो जी रजी. Right. Yes, because I'll tell you what, good question, but I'll tell you how that makes. It's because you are using the index finger for the ears, for the inside of the ears. You are using the thumbs for the outside of the ears. So you are left with three fingers. In other words, it's best that you divide all the five fingers for different parts of the masa of your head. In other words, you use the three for this one, and then the two for this one, and then the thumbs for the outside of the ears. But in this hadith in front of me, I couldn't find the traces or the differentiation between three fingers and whatever. No, it just says both your hands forward and the backwards, and there is no detail about three fingers and. Sahih. जी, it's a technical way of how to make maximum use of the wet hands without using it twice on any limb. It once you have used it in one place, then it's done, right? So that masa of that part from the hands is expired, like. Anji. Chalo.
Question was slightly not to do with this, to do with salah. So I forgot to ask you last time.
Chalo, are there any, first of all, let's entertain any question about wudu before moving on.
Yeah, I've got one more question. On the salah.
Allah kare koi practical question ho.
आपने emphasize किया हदीस के मुताबिक कि each of these limbs you can maximum wash three times.
Hmm.
बात यह कि मैंने वो और इसे कहते हैं कि एक्सेस ऑफ थ्री इज वेस्टेड वाटर, ठीक है. और मैंने देखा कि कई आदमी जो जितने ये लिम्ब्स का पानी यूज होता है इससे ज्यादा फीट पे लगाते हैं और फीट का मेंशन भी नहीं कितना यूज किया जाए.
ओसीडी.
तो आपका ये क्वेश्चन क्या है?
क्वेश्चन है कि फीट में तो लिमिट का बताया नहीं गया.
क्या लिमिट का? तीन मरतबा, यानी ऑल टुगेदर जो है वो कितनी क्वांटिटी है वुजू के, पूरे वुजू के लिए इंक्लूडिंग वॉशिंग द फीट. तो वो एक क्वांटिटी है कि भाई इतनी इस्तेमाल करनी चाहिए, इतनी हुजूर सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम इस्तेमाल करते. हाँ, उससे तो क्या है कि क्या फीट को एक ही मरतबा दो. तो ये क्या हमने बयान किया कि ये हर उज्व को तीन तीन मर्तबा धोते थे? तो ये हर उज्व से मुराद कौन है? चेहरा, दोनों हाथ और कदम, फीट तीन. इनको, पैरों को भी तीन से धोना मुस्तहब सुन्नत है, तीन मर्तबा या दो मर्तबा या कम से कम एक मर्तबा. जी जी हसन. This is a problem. This is why there's so much wastage of water, right? And this is why we cannot even count. We cannot even count because it's just constantly flowing water.
It's just three. If you just do it once, it's just three
times.
Asal tarika yehi hai ke three handfuls karke three times. In other words, each time you have covered the entire foot, that is once. Next time again you wash it and you cover the entire foot, that is second time. Is tara. Chalo. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. I'm just worried that it might get a bit late, Abu Bakr.
No, just...
Chalo. Hai koi question? Acha.
You know, someone said to me that video, so I don't know why, he was on about namaz in the masjid isn't fard.
it doesn't make a difference whether you're really at home or not. But obviously, I mentioned the hadith about, you know, if you don't, you know, the Prophet said about burning the houses, but the only reason I didn't burn it was there's women and children or something. But for some reason, they sort of start putting in people's heads that you can read it at home for the money, it's fine, don't worry about it. And now, obviously, in this day and age, it's come to the point where people are looking for an excuse to read it at home or anywhere else. So is it a fard or is it, you get guna for not reading as a man, or what is it?
A reading in the masjid, a number of scholars are saying it's wajib, which means necessary, to read it in the masjid, unless of course you have an excuse. The most diluted opinion, the most softest opinion on the subject is sunnate muakkada, a very stressed sunnah. Of course, if there is valid reason, like ill and musafir and so on, it's a different case. If there is no valid reason, then to read in the masjid with jamaat, majority of the scholars are saying wajib. Others are saying sunnate muakkada.
So you don't get guna if you don't read in the masjid?
Yes, you do.
If it's wajib.
Now, with sunnate muakkada or wajib, especially with wajib, right, it's a sin. Dusri baat hai, if it becomes a habit, bigger sin. ایک ہے وہ نفلی اور وہ سنت جس پر صرف جس کی فضیلت تو وارد ہوئی ہے لیکن وعید وارد نہیں ہوئی ہے, ایک وہ سنت موقعہ ہے جس کی فضیلت بھی ہے اور وعید بھی ہے. تو جماعت کے ساتھ نماز پڑھنے کی فضیلت بھی ہے اور چھوڑنے پر وعید بھی حدیث میں ہے, تو اس کا درجہ الگ ہی ہے. اسی وجہ سے اکثروں نے اس کو واجب میں شمار کیا ہے. جی سی اسی دس عبداللہ ابن ام مکتوم, ہی از اے بلائنڈ صحابی, ہی کمز ٹو سیک پرمیشن ٹو بی ایگزیمٹڈ فرام کمنگ ٹو دا مسجد بیکاز ہی از بلائنڈ. سو پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نوونگ ہز سچویشن ہی سیڈ اوکے. And he started to now turn around and he started to, you know, walk away. So Prophet ﷺ called him again. When azan is being given in the masjid, can you hear the azan? He said, yes. He said, you have to come. In other words, if you live in the vicinity of the masjid, even though if you are blind, then you have to come. So hum sab dil ke andhe hain. سبحان اللہ وبحمدہ سبحانک اللہم وبحمدک نشہد ان لا الہ الا انت نستغفرک ونتوب الیک. سوکر, یو انڈرسٹینڈ اردو؟ چلو بند کر.